Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Health Disparities Show with Empowerment Works, Empowerment 365. It's all the way live. We had some technical difficulties, but we're back live and in action. Thank you for tuning in. And we'd like to start our show with the Empowerment Pledge, and that pledge is I will work on myself. And at this time in our community, we need help and hope more than ever. And so right now I'm asking you to join in, listen to the show if you have some comments or you'd like to get involved. Be sure to call in at 845-277-9250. And we're going to get the show started right now. Dan, are you in? Are you available? Hello, caller. You there?
Yeah, this is Chrissy.
Hey, how are you?
How are you? All right.
Okay. Welcome to the show. Who else we have here? Trying to get my co-host in. All right, Stan, are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
This is Yolanda.
Hey, how are you?
Good, and you?
Thank you for joining the show. I'm doing pretty good. We're having some technical difficulties, but we're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. So we're talking about health disparities today, and my guests are trying to call in now, and we're going to see if we can get them on board. But I would like to just launch by saying that we're in a health crisis, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the things that we can do. We're going to talk about some issues. We only have 30 minutes. It's a lot of ground to cover. We're going to get our guests in and see if we could get the show started. And if you guys have anything to chime in on once we get the show started, that would be great. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. So we talk about health disparities today. We know what COVID-19 is doing, and now we know and understand the impact that it's having on the African-American community. And what we want to do is be able to have a dialogue, honest and open about that. Some feelings may be hurt based on what your beliefs are, but the facts are we have a health pandemic and a health crisis that's impacting our community. Stan, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Dr. Guy, are you in?
I am.
All right, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. I appreciate you both tuning in. We had some difficulties, but we're going to roll on. Okay, so we'll start with my co-host, Stan. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Brother Rone. Still standing in the gap in the midst of this pandemic. And, of course, like everybody else, the country's undergoing a period of being frustrated, afraid, scared, and angry. And how we fall in the place of sorting through all that maze is phenomenal. And so I have my faith in the Almighty to know that He'll bring us through.
All right, Dr. Guy, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Just sort of trudging along as we all are.
Okay, so we brought you in because you are, in my mind, an expert on health disparities, and you've done research. And so if you tell the audience a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into the topic of health disparities and the impact that it has on the African-American community.
Sure. So I'm an assistant professor in the Department of African American Studies at Virginia Commonwealth University. My training is in social behavioral sciences primarily. Prior to my arrival at Virginia Commonwealth University, I worked at the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona, where I helped to develop a health disparities research program. And prior to that, I was at the University of Arizona in Tucson, where I was actually a postdoc, but I was a postdoc in cancer prevention control, so trying to determine how to prevent cancer within specific populations, and in the Center for Health Outcomes and Pharmacoeconomics.
Okay. And so we're talking about African-American health disparities, and we know that with this virus that's going on, this pandemic that hit the world, how would you characterize that association or relationship with the health disparities that the African-American community face?
Well, so one of the ways that you can look at this, you sort of have to go back a little bit in terms of history, right? So you have to think in terms of African Americans have been, you know, they've sort of been oppressed in this country for 400 years. So when you have, and the foundations of this country is inequity, right? So you have an oppressed population, you have inequities. From inequities, you grow those inequalities by default, right? So I tend not to refer to disparities. I think you and I have talked about this before, Marvin. I tend to try to avoid talking about disparities and inequalities in terms of the African-American population and their health simply because it's grounded so heavily in inequity. And so over time, what we've seen is because of an unequal distribution of resources and wealth, you know, economic, social conditions and things of that nature, all of those things influence the health of a community, right? So we begin to see that within the Black community, we have, you know, higher prevalences of multiple chronic diseases. We have higher prevalence of diabetes than other populations, higher prevalence of obesity when compared to other populations, higher prevalence of respiratory diseases like asthma, for example. And all of these diseases, the burden of these diseases within the Black community that are a result of inequity over time, makes this our population much more vulnerable to this disease, or at least vulnerable to serious disease, serious outcome if we end up with COVID-19. So that's what we're seeing right now. That's what we're seeing unfold right before our eyes. One of the reasons why we see higher death rates within the Black community maybe we'll determine this over time. It may be because some of them may have greater exposure to COVID-19, right? So when you have these essential workers that are coming into the community and that are working in the grocery stores, or that, you know, that are keeping the lights on, keeping us fed, you know, working in the meatpacking plants that we're seeing now, all of these different jobs, these individuals are considered essential workers, right? So we see them out more often, delivering our packages. You know, we see them out more often, so they have more exposure. If we have these underlying chronic diseases, whether they are diagnosed or not, that is going to increase the prevalence of COVID-19 within that population and potentially mortality rates, which is death.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So the question that's on hand right now, one is to open or to not open, and many of us are on the front lines facing this disease head on, along with a lot of our healthcare workers. But there are some additional factors in terms of health and mental health and faith and religion and race and money, and all of these factors are kind of playing in all at the same time now. And what do you think we're dealing with here?
Well, we're dealing with a power that has never been displayed in modern day society quite like this. There's been examples of historic plagues and pandemics before, but not of this magnitude. So it lets us know that you look at the origin of where it emanated from, and then you look at the posture of that particular government social structure. It's one that's based on control and fear, domination, and regardless of if it came from an out of hand experience that went awry in a laboratory or the Wuhan market, and the contamination of exotic animals, it's here, and it's here in a way that it has been permitted per se to engulf the earth to the extent that no one, no country is immune from this particular epidemic. And so that lets me know that it's something that out of my training, circumstances comes for three reasons. From number one, being in control. I mean, there's some things we need to be in control of. If I'm riding in the car with you and you're driving, you're behind the wheel driving, then I hope and pray you're in control. And so things come from being in control. Then things come from things getting out of control. And then lastly, things happen that are beyond our control. This here seems to be beyond our control to the extent we're fighting a invisible enemy. And how can we along with the data and the expertise of individuals who have insight to some of the this chaos, how do we put a face on this here situation? So I have to resort from a biblical perspective because I believe that there is such thing as the created and the creator. In other words, God made things and man made things. And so for such a time as this here is has been permitted, and I know that it has my attention, and so I think that by putting all of these components together, we can hopefully develop some type of wheel that we can find ourselves steering away and out of this here situation.
Okay, good. Dr. Guy, from a professional standpoint.
Marvin, can I just follow up with something that Stan said? Because I think he brought up some really important points. So
okay.
I appreciate that Stan, that you identified, you know, where it came from, right? So whether it came from a lab or whether it came from a bat, right?
Right.
Neither one matters. I agree with you 100% because let's take it back one more step. And I love the fact that you brought into the notion of a higher power and all of this with the conversation, because I would contend that all of this is man-made, whether it was in a lab or whether or not it was a bat as a result. You know, we're now, because we've got issues of climate change and we're encroaching upon nature in ways that we shouldn't anyhow, because we are not taking care of the earth as we've been granted, as we should, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
we would expect to see
more pandemics simply because of the fact that we've not taken care of the planet. We've not taken care of the earth as we need to.
Right.
And so as a result, all of this would be, either situation would be man-made, right? And so we have to think about it in terms of, so if man has created this situation, does man have the capacity to actually reverse it or to stop it or to, you know, make it go away or to control it, right? And that's what we have to, like, begin to think about. It's almost a way of reversing the errors of our ways, in a sense. That's how I see it, right? But the question, because you're right, this was a major event, and it's forced the planet to just stop, which, you know, to me, that's like, it's mind-boggling when we all globally have to stop and just, and, you know, that's my spiritual side speaking, right? You know, I'm a scientist, but I'm also very spiritual, and I believe they can coexist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yes.
The question is, can man use our science? Can we use our science can we sort of dig into that quietness, that stillness that we're forced into right now? And can we see that we need to use our science in better ways to improve the conditions of the planet and of all of mankind, as opposed to using it in these very greedy and selfish ways that we've done
right.
in the past that
right.
created the situation that we're in right now? Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 You definitely expounded on some other key points, because when this particular planet came into existence, regardless if you're a creationist or the Big Bang Theory, it's here. It's here. And
yeah.
It's just one. It's one of many other planets in our solar system and other galaxies that have planets. And so,
right.
you know, we don't know of anything like this going on Mars or Jupiter or Saturn within our hemisphere. But man, we know, lives on planet Earth. And man has been a terrorist on planet Earth, to planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have abused and misused our position of let's per se of the hierarchy of the species. We have abused that and have taken our dominion to be destructive to the extent where we have polluted the air, we've polluted the sea. And we have almost raped the land through urbanization.
Yeah.
So
right.
That affects the habitats of our natural environment where a lot of these animals live. They even sense something, because I'm starting to see at night animals that I haven't seen around for quite some time, because they know something's going on. And so... I think that we have crossed the line, and the line is drawn in the sand, and if we might say that higher power, or in the language of the Almighty, he's got our attention. And I know we want things just to go back to business as usual, but there's some conditions that have to be met before that can take place. And then we'll hear our prayer and heal the land.
Okay, well, we have a few callers on the line. We'd like to bring them in. If you have any questions or any comments, it's time for you to join in now. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, this is Chrissy. And I was just listening to Dan and Dr. Guy. And my mind was really focusing on the condition of the mindset of man.
Yeah.
With everything that they said, the two said, and I was just looking at how, I think it's Florida, Jacksonville, they're complaining, and they're opting to let's start back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then even at the state capitol with that picketing, you know, we Virginia needs to get back on, you know, get back out and open up again. Well, we haven't even gotten close to healing from this
mm-hmm.
condition, and they're already ready to you know, get back into force. And my thing, and I was telling Marvin earlier, this all lines up when I think Stan was talking about it, or either you were talking about it, about the control. This is about power, greed, and prosperity.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mankind is not in their really, they're unconscious. We're operating unconsciously. We're not like Dr. Guy was saying that. We're at a place of quietness, being still. This is where we should be thinking and meditating on mm-hmm. just what is happening to me. That's like if your own personal body breakdown. You can't keep mm-hmm. running your body running your body vigorously and not stopping and take the time, okay, what's wrong, what's going on, how can I fix this? So I think it's a mindset of, man, we're not even caring about how can we fix this. Let's just keep going on in our own ways that we were doing at first.
Right, right. I agree with
that's
you.
That's my
favorite
thought.
It's almost like the motion picture Jaws. Jaws, do you stay in the water or do you get out of the water? If you stay in the water, eventually Jaws is going to get you. If you, do you stay in the water because of the tourist dollars and keeping the beach open? And so this is what it kind of reminds me of, this whole thing about do we open or close or on that. I think myself, I think it's premature to reopen at this time. They drew a clear distinction between essential and non-essential. And I mean, I run a tour company, and as of now, as I'm speaking, it's closed because it's considered non-essential. And so I adhere to that because as much as I like learning and love of history, this here is beyond just the norm. This is abnormal. And we have to be willing to work together to have some sense of direction. And correction comes out of direction. That's what I'm where I'm at. So I'm gonna stay out of the water as much as I can. And if I have to go get in it, I'm gonna definitely have the protective gear.
Right. That's it. That's the key.
So where do we go from here? All right, we have a myriad of issues. We have health care, we have mental health. People are having emotional breakdown. People don't have money to feed their family. There are racial issues now. And even the religious section and the faith and the believers are now questioning some things, you know, because of the virus and closing the church. What are some solutions? What are some thoughts?
Well, as I said, when I open up with my statement that the country is frustrated, afraid, scared, and angry, and rightfully so. Knowledge is power, and this thing, maybe if we might have known fully about it in January, we could have been on top of it now. In terms of flattening it out, but we did know something. Excuse me.
Our government did know, Stan. Our government knew in November of last year. Yeah, we knew. We knew sometime.
Yeah, we did know.
We did know.
And,
so the public may not have known, but the public may not have known, but our federal government did know. They knew for sure. They knew back in December, November. Yeah.
And you brought up a good point, Dr. Guy, when you mentioned about those first line responders, the essential workers, they're on the front line per se.
Right.
And because they're on the front line, they many times have become a victim of the victimization.
Right.
So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I just want to follow up on one more thing that the caller said. What's the caller's name?
Kelly.
Chrissy. So we were talking about people opening up. Because right now, that's the biggest issue right now, is everyone's pressing to open up again. We know that if we open up again, or if we open up too soon or too quickly, right, without a methodical sort of plan in place, that we know we're going to see more hot spots, and we know that we're going to see more deaths, particularly in the Black and Brown community, because that's what we've seen so far. So we can't expect anything different, right? But one of the things that's really bothering me that I thought about this morning, I was watching the news, and I wasn't aware of these protests in Virginia. I wasn't aware of the protests anywhere until someone told me last night. But there was someone today that made a comment who's on the presidential economic advisory committee. So that tells you where their thinking is coming from. And he said that all of the protests are now, the protesters are more like modern day Rosa Parks, right? This is what they say. So they're now equating Rosa Parks and civil rights with the right for these protesters to go back to work. Okay. And I was reading something from another colleague, a former another professor that's in history, but it was in African American studies. And he said, he was saying that these people want the freedom to infect. Yeah. Can you hear me? Hello.
Hello.
Marvin, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So what he was saying was that these people want the freedom to infect, as if the same way that they wanted the freedom to enslave, to lynch, to deport, to exclude, to rob, and they've always protested the loss of their liberties, which we have to remember that. And we in the Black community cannot get caught up in that same argument. We have to sort of brace ourselves. We have the community have to prepare ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves, but we cannot get caught in how they're misusing and misshaping civil rights, which is really, in their eyes, the loss of their liberties to do whatever they want to do, right? Even if it means that Black and Brown people are going to die as a result of it. So we really have to, and it's a difficult thing to do because we have things at stake as well, right? We also need jobs. We need our jobs. We need to feed our families. We need to get our kids in school. We need all of those things. But I think as a community, Marvin, you asked where we go from here. We have to pull inward, and we have to start focusing on our own communities and take care of ourselves in this capacity right now, because there's broader structures that are not going to protect us right now. That's the fact. And
Dr. Guy, we're running out of time. If I can get you to stand to agree to come back, maybe next week, or we can sit down and talk about when we could do this again. But I do want to thank you for joining us. It's a great discussion. There's more and more to unpeel with this thing, and we want to get started on trying to see resolutions as we continue to work through this. Dan, you got anything before we go?
There's so much that we uncovered that needs to be addressed. I just think that we need to get back to where society operated under a theocracy instead of a democracy. Democracy. They wanted a king. So we have to just get plugged back into a higher power.
All right. So that's it for now. Thank you all for joining us, Dr. Guy, Stan Macklin, and everybody that's involved. Thank you so much. And we will see you next time. Peace.
Yes. Peace.